The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. And who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
You know what the headlines say. The White House budget proposal cuts the Environmental Protection Agency budget by 31%, obliterates funding for climate change research and Superfund cleanup sites, and scraps more than 50 environmental programs, including efforts aimed at enhancing efficiency, funding infrastructure projects in Native American communities, and cleaning up the Great Lakes. That's not a surprise to any of us. That's not even new news anymore, is it? And yet 97% of climate scientists agree that human-caused climate change is happening here and now. And unfortunately, the current administration either thinks that all of those scientists are either lying or they're wrong. But even ExxonMobil and major coal companies like Cloud Peak Energies assert that we, the United States, ought to remain a party to the Paris Climate Accords. Yesterday, around the world, more than 600 marches for science were held on Earth Day to lift up the radical idea that science has something to contribute to our dialogue on the environment. If you want to know what climate scientists are saying and to see their findings, a really easy place to look is at the website climate.nasa.gov. Somehow, NASA has not yet been muzzled by the administration, which put a gag order in place for several agencies, including the USDA and the Interior Department. And if you want to talk to a climate scientist in person, there are three of them sitting among you right now. Jeff Morissette. Jeff, where are you? I saw you up there. Wave. Jeff worked at NASA and was until recently director of the Department of the Interior's North Central Climate Science Center. Or you could talk to Doug Fox. Doug, give us a wave. Doug was part of the team that shared the Nobel Prize with Al Gore for publicizing the case for human-affected climate change. Or if you want a social science angle, you could talk to Michelle Betzel. Michelle, who is the chair of the political science department at CSU, is an authority on the ways that governments and non-governmental organizations are responding to climate change. And there are probably more climate experts out there of whom I am not even aware. Many voices are needed if we're going to get the ear of the administration and members of Congress, including one of our senators from Colorado, who hems and haws about whether or not climate change is caused by human activity. The voices of Christians are essential. You know, if our politicians won't listen to scientists, if they won't listen to social scientists, maybe they'll listen to us. Catherine Hayhoe, a renowned climate scientist and an evangelical Christian, writes, "The poor, the disenfranchised, those already living on the edge, and those who contributed least to this problem, climate change, are also those at greatest risk to be harmed by it. That's not a scientific issue," she says. "That's a moral issue." That is the crux of eco-justice and the deadly irony of environmental racism. We tend to inflict environmental harm on communities that don't have a voice, which is why we bury spent uranium on tribal lands and build refineries near communities of color. Catherine Hayhoe says, as scientists, we don't know a lot about suffering, but as Christians, we do. And we know that part of the reason we are here in this world is to help people who are suffering. Pope Francis has called rising to the challenge of responding to climate change a moral imperative for Christians. So what are the theological implications of caring for the earth? The psalmist says it loud and clear. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. That means soil, air, water, plants, animals, us, the whole of creation. In other words, the earth is not Caesar's, nor is it ExxonMobil's, nor is it Duke Energy's, nor does it belong to any government, nor does it belong to us. That idea that the earth doesn't belong to us is directly at odds with our fundamental assumptions about property, which derive primarily from English property law, not from the Bible. The psalmist uses the notion of God as the property owner to convey the message. But what if we went one step further, away from the image of God as the property owner, to an image that's presented by the Apostle Paul, that it is God in whom we live and move and have our being. Or to use Paul Tillich's phrase, the ground of all being. That's a cosmic image of God. And it's still a real leap for a lot of Christians not to have a picture in your mind's eye of somebody who looks an awful lot like Zeus with a long white beard floating on a cloud. And to carry the cosmic image even further, I draw upon the critical work of a really wonderful eco-theologian, Sally McFaig, who poses this question. What if we saw the earth as part of the body of God? Think about that for a moment. What if we started to think about God not as a human-like being somewhere out there beyond us, floating on a cloud, but as here, within us, among us, and infinitely far beyond anything we can imagine? What if we thought of the planet on which we live right now as the body of God? 5 years ago, Marcus Borg preached a sermon from this pulpit on this first Sunday after Easter and offered a wonderful, haunting refrain that is the central message of Easter. Jesus is loose in the world. This is the cosmic Christ, no longer bound by death, nor by time or space. Now, imagine that Jesus who is loose in the world, as you consider the question from McFaig. What if we saw God's body overlain by the body of the cosmic Christ, so that wherever we looked, we would see bodies that are incorporated into liberating, healing, inclusive love of God? Would we not then feel obliged to love the earth and all of its many bodies? Would it not be the first duty of those who not only belong to the earth, but know that we belong to it? You know, in recent months, You've probably heard somebody quote Jesus' words from Matthew's gospel. Just as you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, so also you did it to me. Now that makes sense to most of us, that when we care for the poor, the oppressed, the grieving, the imprisoned, that we're taking care of Christ as well. But what if we connected the theological dots that Sally McFaig lays out for us? What if we could hear the risen Christ, the Jesus who is loose in the world, say, just as you did it to the least of these who are members of my creation, my body, you did it to me. When was it, Jesus, that I took care of your air, your water, and your soil? When was it, Jesus, that I invested in coal-fired power plants, rolled back environmental protections, and tossed plastic bags into your seas? One of the ways that we as Christians can start a shift in the way that we see the planet is to start talking. To start talking about caring for the environment, not only as an issue of reason, but also as an issue of faith. Talk about it with your kids. Talk about it with your colleagues at the office. Talk about it with your friends over a cup of coffee or a glass of beer. Whether you see the earth as the body of God, or as the planet that God loves, or as the inheritance that God has given us to leave to our children and their children and their children, the stakes are too high to remain silent. And let your representatives in Congress hear from you. Identify yourself as a Christian and make the scientific and theological stand that changing the way we do things is urgent. We as progressive Christians need to stand up for real science. We as progressive Christians need to stand up for care of God's planet, because caring for the cosmos is an act of faith. And if you want to talk about salvation, don't worry about yourself. Worry about God's body, God's planet, because there are more than 7 billion people who depend upon it for a home. Amen.